Reading from the Jiva Dharma, Chapter 20, Prameya Abhideya, Vaidhi Bhakti. Om Jnana Timuran Dasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Daksul Nmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Siddhati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I'm on the top floor of the Bhakti Center, and I have a skylight, and they're having the swing festival, and there's a really intense kirtan going on. So I'll just try to remain focused, and those of you who graced me with your attendance, and Hare Krishna. So we're following Vrajanath and his uncle, Vijay Kumar. And they're the part of the Jiva Dharma where we're not just following someone coming to Krishna consciousness, but we're following someone who is advancing systematically in Krishna consciousness through instructions on Krishna consciousness, which are given systematically in the Shastra. It's not the society for just introducing people to Krishna consciousness, but achieving the goal of Krishna consciousness, Prema Pumartha Mahan, the greatest wealth, the greatest goal. Greatest wealth, the greatest goal is love of Godhead. That's the Priyojana. That's the Priyojana. That's the result, the objective, is to get Prema. And the process of moving forward is outlined in the Shastra. And therefore, Prabhupada said, books are the basis, and when you come to Krishna consciousness, you study the sacred texts, which gives you direct association with Krishna, because the message is God incarnate in message, and it gives you the specific instructions on how to practice. Even earlier on, I think in this dialogue, it described what is Uttama Adhikari, the topmost qualification for practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, or, and that's your faith and your knowledge. Because it can be faith, but faith in what? Faith in the principles of Krishna consciousness. So they're now being instructed, and they wanted to know, okay, there's the absolute reality. Now, what is the means of realizing the absolute reality? And that's bhakti, that's the process of devotional service, the various ways and means by which you can focus your mind on God. And when you focus your mind on God, which is not just an intellectual thing, it's a question of heart. When you focus your mind on God, then that meditation naturally brings out the self, your true self, which is a servant of God. We become attracted to God, and therefore attracted to his service, and therefore attracted to who we are, which is the servants of God. So now Babaji Maharaj is outlining those principles, how to engage the mind in Krishna's service. And he gives 20 introductory principles. 10 are the rules, what you do, and the next 10 are the most important regulations, what you avoid. And of those things that you do, the most important is Gurupad Ashraya, is to take shelter of the truth, which is Krishna, and we're part of Krishna, and we are to follow his will. That's a principle of harmony, is that you connect yourself. You connect yourself with something greater than yourself. And someone who doesn't connect themselves with something greater than themselves as their guide or connection, then that's a narcissistic person who only guides themselves by what they want, not what is right. And what is right is something beyond our own desires. It's a truth that is transcendent to what we want. So it's Gurupad Ashraya, that conception of taking shelter of the absolute truth, which the will of which is represented for us in the Shastra, which is Acharya Purusha Veda, which is understood through the help of the teacher. So that mood of commitment to God's will through the teacher who represents the Shastra, and then taking initiation, and then formalizing that commitment, then taking instructions, and then formalizing that commitment, and also with certain mantras. So these were the principles. We had discussed that. And then, right, actually, then there's Guru Seva with faith. With faith. We serve the will of the teacher with faith, that the teacher represents the will of God. And therefore, Guru Seva means with the utmost regard. And then the fourth principle he asked, and what is sadhu? Because he gave a list of all the principles, and he asked, what is sadhu? Marganu gamanam. Sadhu, marganu, marganu manam. To follow the paths of the saints. But not just guru, but we follow he's going to describe that we fix one's mind on the path, the marg of the sadhus. In the Upadeshamrita, it describes one of the six practices favorable to devotional service is Sato Vite. We follow those who represent the truth. The ocean of material existence, they've crossed that ocean, and they've left their directions to follow. So the Mahajans, the previous great personalities, have outlined the steps so that we can follow without fear. He'd follow with faith. And then he instructs, and even if one's performing single-pointed, undivided bhakti, his bhakti can never bring any good fortune if he is violating the rules of Shruti, Smriti, and the Puranas. In other words, the path of the sadhus means the path of the Shastri. So here's the thing, sadhu, we're following the sadhus. We're not engaging in our own speculation of how to move forward in Krishna consciousness. Anugata, very important principle, anugata. We follow the path. We follow the path, and we're very much fixed on that in our Krishna consciousness. Even if with realization we have to repackage it or make it practical in various ways, but those principles of Krishna consciousness, we follow the rules of the that are outlined by the previous acharyas. And that's mentioned in the Brahma Yamala Shrita Smriti Puranadi Pancharatna Bidimbina Akaintaki Harir Bhaktir Upatatyaiva Kalpate. That if you don't follow the Shastra and the sadhus who represent the Shastra, then upatatyaiva kalpate, you will cause disturbance. And disturbance is the symptom of going against nature. So when you go against the Shastra, the will of God, even the name of bhakti, then unauthorized, it will cause a disturbance. Therefore, there are upper sampradayas, there are groups that somehow make up their own practices, and it's a disturbance. And it will cause a disturbance. And the disturbance is just the symptom that you've actually are not doing it right. So important, actually. So important to have that attitude. Not that we know better. And therefore, there's also a culture of shame. Even if the acharya says something that we have a difficulty understanding or accepting, still there's a culture of shame. We can just humbly admit we don't understand. So dangerous to become the authority independent of the authority. This is so easy to deviate on the basis of attachments. I see sometimes that if you really want to be a philosopher, it can't be based on your attachments or your emotions. And when we have strong attachments and emotions, it so easily can inform our philosophical understanding in the incorrect way. But then Vijay is asking, he tells us clearly how unauthorized Hari Bhakti can be the cause of disaster. How does it cause so much problems? So Babaji explained, single-pointed and undivided consciousness in Shuddha Bhakti is only attained by following, depending on the path given by the previous Mahajans. One cannot attain single-pointed consciousness if one leaves the path of the previous Mahajans and creates another path. It just doesn't work. You'll speculate, and your practice and your philosophy will certainly be informed, not by the absolute truth, but your attachment, which is based on a center point, not of God, but your own ego. And he gives example. Consequently, Dattatreya, Buddha, and other teachers who are not able to understand Shuddha Bhakti accepted a shadow of this mood and propagated the very insignificant path of Mayavad Mishra, Bhakti mixed with Mayavad, and Naistikata Mishra, Bhakti mixed with devotion. Of course, we know that this is the example why you have to follow the Shastra. Or you have to follow the sadhu. Guru, sadhu, and shastra, and the example is Buddha. Prabhupada said about Lord Buddha, his philosophy was a timely necessity. It wasn't an absolute fact. He preached and rejected the Vedas because the Vedas were being misused. And to do that, to stop the misuse of the Vedas, he had to preach against it. And therefore, to follow that, which is against Shastra, even in the name of following God, will lead to a disturbance. We see even in the modern day how much abuse there can be in the name of religion, because people have become independent of Shastra. They designated these as single pointed Hari Bhakti, but in reality, the path they put forward are not Hari Bhakti at all. They only create immense confusion and spiritual disaster. Now, in the bhajan of spontaneous devotion, there is no God, regard for the rules of Shruti, Smriti, Pranadi, Pancharatna, and so on. The only concern that follows this path out is to follow the inhabitants of Braja. But sadhakas who are qualified for Vidhi Marg must depend only on the path of bhakti shown by Dhruva, Phalad, Vyas, Sukhanada, Mahaja. That is why Vaidhi Bhakti has no alternative but to follow the way of the sadhus. When you don't have spontaneous attraction for Krishna, and when your heart is not purified, and you try to follow your heart in disregard for the rules, you won't wind up thinking of Krishna. To the extent that we're not spontaneous, which means naturally attracted to Krishna, is to the extent that we have to follow rules that fix our mind on Krishna, despite what our attraction is. When you're spontaneously attracted to Krishna, then you're no longer bound by the regulations and rules to do so, because you'll do it spontaneously. But if you don't have that spontaneous devotion, then you'll spontaneously follow your own desire. You'll be beyond going to Mangal Arati, but you'll spend all morning on the computer. Because that's where your faith, that's where your attraction. So the extent that one becomes spontaneously attracted to Krishna is the extent that one's the extent that one could follow their heart. And if your heart's not spontaneously attracted to Krishna, you follow your heart, you'll follow your material desires. Vijay, what is the meaning of being inquisitive about Sadharma and the procedures of bhajan? Babaji, Sadharma means real dharma or the dharma of real sadhus, and one should inquire enthusiastically to understand it. So, Sadharma, pritcha, to inquire about true dharma. And when you meet those who have it, we should inquire very, very enthusiastically about it. So that's one of the preliminary principles of entering into bhakti. So we have Guru Parashraya and taking initiation and instruction or instruction initiation. Then Sadhu Vartmarga Gamam. We follow the path of the sadhus. And we're inquisitive. And what does it mean to give up enjoyment for Krishna's sake? Babaji, material enjoyment, bhoga, means enjoying happiness from the pleasure of eating and so on. That bhoga is usually opposed to bhajan, so bhajan becomes very easy when one gives up such enjoyment for the purpose of Krishna bhajan. Person is attached to material enjoyment is just like a person who drinks alcohol. For he's so much attached to the object of the senses that he's unable to perform true bhakti. Therefore, one should not enjoy material food. Rather, one should only honor and serve Bhagavad Prasad. One should protect the body that we use in service and also give up all kinds of enjoyment. Janmasthami, Ekadasi, Guni Purnima, Nishringa Chaturdasi, and similar other days. The sixth item, giving up enjoyment for the sake of Krishna. And Prabhupada very much here puts in terms of prasadam. We should eat prasadam. At regular times, we should regulate our lives and regulate our diet. And this also means there are different fast days that we should follow, which is kind of a check on our mood of prayas or over-endeavor. It kind of creeps up on us psychologically the amount that we need. And fast days are really a great way to be mindful about that. I find after I fast for a certain period of time, the amount of food I require becomes also less. What does it mean to reside in the Dham, such as Dwarka and places near the Ganga or the holy rivers? Faith. Babaji, faith and steadiness in bhakti, bhakti nishtha, arises in place where Bhagavan's blessed appearance and other pastimes took place, and near pious rivers such as the Ganga and Jamuna. They become fixed in bhakti. It's very favorable to go to places where the Lord appeared and other pastimes take place, because places have an effect on consciousness. So most of the people connected with me at some time or another have gone to Vrindavan and going in the right way, soundly felt the effect of the Dham to deepen their faith in Krishna consciousness. Vijay, thus if one resides in Sri Navadvipan, one becomes purified. Is the Ganga the cause of this, or is there another cause as well? So, mentioned living in the Dom, it also means where, you know, on the bank of the Ganga and other holy rivers. So Vijay is now in, he's now in Navadvip. He wants to know, is it pure because it has potency itself? Or is the Ganga the cause of this? Because the Ganga flows so powerfully, wow. Still flows so powerfully through Navadvip. Baba Jaho, one receives all the benefit of residing in Vrindavan. If one resides anywhere within the 16 crores or Sri Navadvip, especially one resides in Sri Mayapur. Ayodhya, Mathura, Gaya, Kashi, Kanchi, Avantika, and Dwarka are the seven holy places that give liberation. But among them, Sri Mayapur is the most important. Because it's Odarya Dham. And you get a certain level of magnanimity there that allows you to practice and hear and chant way above your normal capacity to do so. I remember taking tours to Navadvip and just watching by just staying engaged and chanting and hearing how much the it's like Satchinanda Swami met one sadhu in Barsana. He said, if you chant in the name of the chant, name is chanting you. The name actually descends. Loka Premadan, Harinam. The reason is that Sriman Mahaprabhu's cause is eternal abode, Swetadvip, to descend here. 4 centuries after Mahaprabhu's appearance, the Swetadvip will become the most important dham above all other dhams on the earth. By residing in this dham, one becomes free from all kinds of offenses and attains Shuddha Bhakti. Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati accepts this dham as non-different from Sri Vrindavan. In fact, in some places he has shown it that it's even more glorious. So, a little technical point here, but Radha and Krishna are enjoying the most intimate love, and when they want to give that love, then Radha and Krishna become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Vrindavan becomes Navadvip. So it's the same entity, only the mood of Odarya or magnanimity becomes prominent. And the effect of offenses are less because of the magnanimity. So it's very, very powerful. We all need mercy. We all need to. And Path to Bhakti is mercy because it's advancing by the reciprocation of God in a relationship to us. And if he's kind, his reciprocation will be greater. It's God in the mood of magnanimity. And I can say personally, I've felt this at various times practicing there. Vijay, now we've covered the first 7 of the important introductory rules. What does it mean to adopt appropriate means to sustain oneself's life for preaching? Quotes from Naradiya Purana. A wealthy person should accept as much wealth as he requires to follow the rules and rituals that sustain his bhakti. Accepting more or less than necessary is the cause of falling down even from the highest level. So different people have different needs, but we accept what we need. And if we accept more than we need, it'll increase our attachments, and it will increase our needs. And this goes on endlessly. That's why one of the main principles that destroy bhakti is atyahara, over-collecting. Because once you accept more, you become attached to more. And when you become attached to more, you only increase what you have and your desire for it. So a devotee, he lives very, very simple. And this is one of the introductory rules of Krishna consciousness. One who is qualified for Vaidhi Bhakti may earn his livelihood by some proper means according to Vanashram Dharma. It is beneficial to accept wealth according to one's necessity. Accepting more than necessary results in attachment, which gradually destroys bhajan, because it increases the voice that has moved us away from Krishna. This is the voice to enjoy and control. It is not beneficial either to accept less than necessary, because the result in scarcity will also weaken one's bhajan. So we should take what we need. If we take less, we also dwell more on what we need, what we want. And that distracts the mind from Krishna consciousness. Therefore, as long as one is not qualified to complete detachment, nidapeksha, one should accept wealth and so forth to maintain one's life and to follow Shuddha Bhakti. Vijay, how does one observe Hari Vata? That means Ekadasi, or the days of Lord Hari. So this is written 100 years ago, and their standards were much more strict. Babaji, the term Hari Vata refers to pure, unbroken Shuddha Ekadasi. Mixed Vita Ekadasi must be given up. Cases where Dvadasi is Mahadvadasi, Dvadasi should be observed instead of Ekadasi. One should observe celibacy on the previous day and then spend the day of Hari Vasara fasting without taking water. One should stay awake the whole night, incessantly engaged in bhajan, and on the next day one should observe celibacy and break the fast at the proper time. This is proper observance of Hari Vasara. So people, the day before, you just eat once at noon practically, and then you do Nirjala Ekadasi, you stay up all night, and Madhavatiti Bhakati Janati. This increases Madhavatiti Bhakati, it gives birth to devotion. Very, very powerful for our Krishna consciousness. Because obviously it's not so much our time in terms of chanting, it's our taste. If we get the taste, then it's much more easy to make the time for it. So this is how you get taste, actually, by following the Ekadasi. It is not possible to observe Nirjala fasting without drinking water, without giving up Mahaprasad. If one does not have the ability or strength to observe Hari Vasara properly, there is a provision for alternative arrangements, anukalpa. So if you can't do that, then anukalpa. You can take just fruits and vegetables without grains. According to Hari Bhakti Vilas, a representative may fast on one's behalf. If a Sagnika Brahmin is unable to fast, he may arrange for a Brahmin or his sons to fast on his behalf. The method of fasting through Abhishyama and so on is described as follows. In the evening, instead of grains, one should take other foodstuffs, Abhishyan, such as fruit, sesame, milk, water, ghee, panchagavya, and air. And this means each item is better than the one before. So better than just taking fruits is just taking sesame. Better than taking sesame is then water, is milk, then water, then ghee, panchagavya, and air. According to the Mahabharata, and then there's a verse quoted, The following 8 items do not destroy one's breath or vow: water, roots, fruits, milk, ghee, the desire of a Brahmin, the words of the guru, the herbs, and medicine. Okay. Unfortunately, I don't have any time for questions because I have to go today. And Ruthie, I'll call you in 15 minutes and we'll try to straighten that out. Okay. Thank you all very much. Thank you.